All right, let's start with prayer this morning, shall we? Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, for meeting needs, for your love, Lord. Thank you for your word, and Lord, for how you, Lord, show us, and Lord, teach us what we should be doing, how we should be living for Jesus. And Lord, as we talk about some of that this morning, teach us. And Lord, help us to be putting these things into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, all right, you can look at your outline. If you notice, the first nine just we have already had. But we're going to start there. Okay, there it goes. All right. And so let's be one, let's be saved. That was the first one we had, a month and a half, 2 months ago? Let's be holy. Let's be holy. Should have sang holy, holy, holy this morning, right? In the nursing homes, I have been singing that one, holy, holy, holy. Number three, let's be glad. Let's be glad. Four, let's be clean. Let's be confessing sin. Number five, let's be merciful, actively compassionate to one another. Actively compassionate. Number five, let's be kind, gracious, gentle to each other. Number seven, let's be thankful. Let's be grateful to God for what he's given us. Number eight, let's be wise. Let's be intelligent and not stupid and ignorant, right? Number nine, let's be doers of the word, just from the book of James. Let's be all these things and more. And so let's move on today to number 10, be steadfast. Be steadfast. And now you can see in your outlines, you need to fill in the blanks, all right? Be steadfast. I would see Jenny smiling because she likes these fill-in-the-blank ones. Be steadfast. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58, please. 1 Corinthians 15:58, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Verse says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are told here just what we should be steadfast. And that word steadfast means a sedentary. That is, by implication, immovable, settled, be settled in your faith. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be double-minded. James will call it double-minded. But be steadfast in the truth. Don't let the winds of what doctrine, different doctrines come along and blow you around. Believe the truth and be settled, be immovable, be steadfast. And so Albert Barnes says, seated, just sedentary, just perhaps with an allusion to a wood statue, or perhaps to wrestling and to standing one's ground. Don't we have to wrestle in what spiritual battles? Don't we have an enemy that we wrestle with? We ought to be settled. We should be what steadfast in our faith, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As we work for the Lord, we will face spiritual battles. We will face an enemy who doesn't want us to preach the truth. He's the father of lies, and he wants to stop us. We need to be steadfast. Just whatever may be the illusion, the sense is clear. Be firm, strong, confident in the faith. Confident in the faith. Know what you believe and be steadfast. Are you steadfast in the work of the Lord? Are you immovable? Are you steadfast? Are you like a statue? Are you wrestling for the truth? we should be steadfast. Next, number 11. Immovable. There we go. Be immovable. Same verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now I added be there, okay? It's not there. And that word, just immovable means not to be moved from its place. Metaphorically, firmly persistent. Firmly persistent. Don't easily give up. Be persistent. Immovable. Persistent. If you're witnessing to somebody, keep doing it. Keep witnessing. Keep looking for those opportunities. Be persistent. Be immovable. Adam Clark says, let nothing shake your faith. Let nothing move you away from this of the gospel which is given to you. Don't move away from it. Hold on to it. Hold fast to your faith. Is there anything that moves you away from the work of the Lord? Give it up. That's the application. Give it up. And just whatever moves you away. Movies, videos, even your phone. Give it up. Number 12. Be always abounding. Be always abounding. He almost sounds like a marathon runner, doesn't it? Always abounding. Whoops, did I put the passage there? I didn't put the passage up for that one. I'm sorry. All right, okay. Oh, it's the same verse, sorry. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. And that word abounding means to superabound in quantity or quality. Just to be in excess, to excel, to abound in a thing, in what this case, the works of the Lord. We are to excel as Christians. We are to excel, to superabound in the work of the Lord. What are you doing for the Lord? Do you excel at it? We should. In just whatever we do for the Lord, we should be excelling. So Adam Clark says, always engaged in doing the will of God. In just promoting His glory and advancing His kingdom. That's what we should be doing. Are you engaged? Or do you sometimes, like me, get lazy and just want to do nothing? You know, I just want to lay on the couch and watch an old movie. Be engaged. Be doing just what the Lord wants you to do. Be engaged. Be abounding. Matthew Henry says in the Lord's service, just in obeying just the Lord's commands, we should be diligent and just preserving herein and we're going on towards perfection. They should be continually just making advances in just true piety. Yeah. And what ready and what apt for every good work. And there's another verse that says, be ready in season and out of season. We should be ready, abounding. So the application is just your just obedience and just service, super abounding in the work of the Lord. So what are you doing for the Lord? Do you excel at it? Do you superabound? Makes me think of the Super Bowl, right? Only one team wins, right? We should be superabounding in the work of the Lord. What do you need to change to make that happen? What do you need to change to make that happen? Maybe you need to give something up. Maybe you need to replace something just with something else. Number 13, be sober. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8, please. 1 Peter 5:8. First Peter 5, verse 8. Get there. There we go. And it says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what? Notice the reason, because there is an enemy. Be sober. And just sober means to be calm. And what collected, in what spirit? It means to be tempered, self-controlled, dispassionate, circumspect. Be sober. Don't let other things control you. Self-control, that is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Temperance, self-control. New Believer's Bible commentary says, to be sober means to be serious-minded, to take a just realistic approach to life, to be intelligent concerning the stratagems of Satan. Be aware, be alert, be sober. Don't let food, drink, or what other things control you. Be temperate. So the application, are you self-controlled and intelligent when spiritual battles arise? Don't put yourself in those places where just you are tempted. Don't go there. Don't go there. If television shows you have just partial nudity in, stay away. Turn it off. Don't go there. If there's cursing, if there's blasphemy there, don't go there. Certain television series I've heard, because I don't have cables, so I don't know exactly just what's on them, but I've heard some of them are blasphemous. Don't watch them. Stay away. Be self-controlled. Be sober. Next, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Same verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he does that every day, all day. Be vigilant. And that word vigilant means to keep awake. That is to watch. Literally, or figuratively, be vigilant, be watchful. Watch for the enemy. Be vigilant. Be watching. The New Believer's Bible commentary says there must also be constant vigilance. A just preparedness to meet every attack of the wicked one. Now, think about that. You're on the battlefield. You've got the enemy in front of you. And you know he can attack at any moment. You had better be vigilant. You had better be sober. Because he could come at any time. And that's what the devil does. When you least expect it, right? Because he always roams about like a roaring lion. Be vigilant. The application, are just you vigilant against the devil, the enemy? Are you prepared for his attacks? Are you prepared for his attack? There are just fiery darts that he shoots at us. Ephesians 6 tells us what to put on, how to be ready for his attacks. He wants to trip us up. He wants to destroy us. We need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. Number 15, be ready. Be ready. Turn with me to Luke 12, please, verse 40. Luke 12, verse 40. Luke 12, verse 40 says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Notice Jesus telling them, "You guys, be ready. Be ready." And that word ready means adjusted. That is ready, prepared. Be prepared. Be ready. Are you ready and just prepared for His return? We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. We don't know the moment. But Jesus does tell us, be ready. Be ready. Have your house in order. Be ready for His return. He promised that He's coming back. Be prepared. Ewart Bleaver's Bible commentary says, "The lesson is that the time of Christ's coming is uncertain. No one knows the day or the hour when He will appear. But when He does come, those believers who have laid up treasures on earth will lose them all. Because, as what someone has said, that a Christian just either leaves his wealth or goes to it. Where's your wealth? Is it here or is it in heaven?" Be ready. Think about Alice. You know, last Sunday afternoon, 12:35, 11:35, one of those two times, she entered eternity. Be ready. It can happen at any time. Especially as you drive with these roads. Think about all of the accidents you've heard about this week. All over these roads. That 5-year-old girl who fell out the window to her death. It can happen at any time. Crossing the street, walking down the street. And of course, He could come at any moment. Number 16. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Matthew 14:27, please. Matthew 14:27. That reads, But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." The disciples were afraid. But Jesus said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Be of good cheer means to have courage. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good comfort. Think of what Joshua 1:9. Be of good courage, for God was with, and what Joshua is, and He also with us. Be of good cheer, be of good comfort, take courage. Matthew Henry says, "Be of good cheer, be courageous, pluck up your spirits, and be courageous." Too many times we're afraid. We want to give up and quit and not fight the battle. But what Jesus says, be of good cheer, be of good courage. The Believer's Bible commentary says, "How true to one's own experience. We are often storm-tossed, perplexed, in despair. The Savior seems far away, but all the time He is praying with us. When the night seems darkest, He is near at hand." My mother-in-law, Shirley, just had cancer surgery this past week. And what she said, I didn't think I was going to make it. She was afraid she was going to die. She saw her daughter die of cancer, her just mother die of cancer. And so she thought the worst. That on the other side of surgery, well, there ain't going to be no other side. I'm going to be dead. She keeps telling me that every time I call her. Mom, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid. We're going to look at that at the end. That's the last one. That's number 37 or 39. But be of good cheer. Be of good courage. So the application, are you of good cheer or courage, knowing God is near? That's the key. God is near. God is near. We don't need to be afraid. We can be of good courage, of good cheer, because He is near. If you know Christ as Savior, you have His Spirit in you. We can be of good cheer, no matter what's happening, just in us or just around us, because He is near. Number 17, be content. Be content. Turn with me. Luke 3, please, 14. Luke 3, 14. Let's go back to the book of Luke. Luke 3, 14. And that verse says, and the soldiers likewise just demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And what Jesus said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. The Roman soldiers were always taking money from people through taxes. But Jesus tells them, be content. And that word content means be enough, suffice, be sufficient. Be sufficient. God is sufficient. God knows what you need, and He will provide. Sometimes we have to wait for it, and sometimes, because we don't like to wait, we get discontent. But what Jesus tells them, be content with your wages. Matthew Henry says, it is discontent with what they have that makes men oppressive and injurious. They that never think they have enough themselves will not scruple at any of the most irregular practices to make it more by defrauding others. Be content. Be content. Application, are what you content with what God has given you? Are you content with what God has given you? We need to be content. Number 18, be children of light. Be children of light. And this is in John 12:36, please. John 12, verse 36. John 12, 36. That reads, while ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. And that word children of light means to shine or to make manifest, luminousness. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, goes right with this verse. We sing that sometimes in the nursing homes. They had it back when they were in Sunday school. And I've got a lady who's over 100. Man, so that little Sunday school ditty has been around a long time. A long time. This little light of mine, I am going to let it shine. We should be children of light, shining Jesus to the world. You may be the only Jesus people see. What does that Jesus look like? Is that Jesus holy and upright? Or is he crude and deceptive? The biblical illustrator says, light produces light. And by believing in him who is the light, we become light in the Lord. And then Adam Clark says, let the light, the truth of Christ, so dwell in you and work by you, that ye may be all light in the Lord, that as truly as a child is the produce of his own what parent, and just partakes of what his nature, so ye may be children of the light, ye having nothing in you but truth and righteousness. May that be true of us. Truth and righteousness. Now, I would look at Tim here, speaking about us being light because he is light. My son Tim is, but so much like me, he doesn't realize that sometimes. He would just said, it's scary, because he's starting to see it. He's loud like sometimes I get loud, right, Tim? Yeah. But he's just like me. We should be just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. So the application is just your light shining for Jesus. Is his truth seen in you? When other people look at you, do they see you're different? Different than them? Because Jesus is shining through you. Yeah. I think I have 19 there, right? So we'll finish with this one. Oh, no, actually, I have more. Okay, well, we're going to do this last one. Be witnesses. Be witnesses. And we'll finish with this one. And this is Acts 1, verse 8, which says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all what Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They were to be witnesses. So are we. And that word witness means martyr, or to record, to witness. Now think about a martyr. What martyr dies for what he believes in. Think about the apostles. 10 of them did, didn't they? This was true in their lives. They were witnesses. They were martyrs. They died for what they believed in. The Apostle John, he was exiled. He was the only one exiled. But all the others were martyred for their faith because they were witnesses. John Gill says, their business was to testify of the sufferings of a Christ and the glory that followed, and to preach a what crucified Jesus as the only Savior of lost sinners. And that's what they did. So the application, are just you witnessing or just being a just martyr for Jesus? And, you know, sometimes relationships are killed because of faith. Some Jewish believers who trust Christ as Messiah, their families consider them dead because they've trusted Christ. We should be martyrs for Jesus. We should be witnessing to others. As we leave this place this morning, think about people you can witness to this week. Neighbors, friends, coworkers, family. Think about people you need to start praying. Look for that opportunity to make a disciple. Being a martyr is not easy, is it? It isn't easy, but Christ will. Let's pray. Father, we Lord, thank you for all these bees. Lord, we should be busy doing, practicing these things, just in our lives, Lord. May we be witnesses. May we be martyrs. May we be children of light. May we be sober Be vigilant. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for all these things. In Jesus' name.